Okay, I'm going to call the meeting to order with the Pledge of Allegiance, please. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. I'm going to quickly call the roll. Sue, Cheney, Alexandria. Michael O'Malley, yes. Heidi?
Yes.
Milbrand? Danbury?
Yes.
Broughton? Zoomed in.
Yes.
Thank you, Jeff.
Jeff Levack is attending virtually.
Hebron?
Yes.
New Hampton?
Yes.
Thank you, Fran.
Yeah, make a note that Sue is excused for duties.
Did you hear that? She's
yes,
excused.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Probably working at the polls.
Yeah.
Yes, she is.
Okay.
Yeah. Are there any modifications to the agenda? I am suggesting a modification in order to deal with a hefty proposal shown to us this week and given to us also in hard copy tonight. And there is a presentation for that. So if we go to the ventilation at Newfound Memorial Middle School, old business A, there are no objections. I would like to move that. Right after we talk about the minutes. There are no changes, additions, subtractions from the minutes. By consent. I think we'll do public comment first. Thank you.
Okay, my name is Deirdre Conley. I'm the president of the teachers union. Teachers have been reporting back to me on a daily basis about things that are going well and challenges that have occurred. So first I want to begin with, teachers are in the midst of trying to do their best to make the plan that was presented to them work for students. So I want to be clear, as I previously stated, teachers want to work. They are not looking for an out. They want students in their classrooms. But we're living in a pandemic regardless of the current numbers. We're concerned that teachers are going to come out of this with a bad reputation. Teachers are afraid to speak up for fear of losing their jobs, salaries, and health insurance, hence the reason I'm here. But they are under a great deal of stress, and I'm concerned for their health and well-being. Specifically, the following comments have been shared. Now, I could be here all night sharing comments, so I've tried to condense them for comments. At the elementary, I have a large list of concerns. Most of it is about the sustainability of the current plan. Teachers don't feel that they'll be able to provide high quality instruction to students in the classroom while simultaneously teaching students who are learning remotely. Our teachers are dedicated. They're working hard to implement the plan. However, the expectations of teaching in person, teaching remotely, providing instruction for students who could potentially be out sick for 10 days at a time, maintaining a physical classroom space, planning and preparing lessons that still provide stimulating academics under tight time constraints, carrying out duties, including keeping kids 6 feet apart on the playground, communicating with parents, and keeping an updated Google Classroom while remembering to keep kids safe is simply overwhelming. Again, I'm greatly concerned about the teacher's health, mentally and physically. Today was day one of teaching with remote students in our classrooms. Teachers are at the end of their ropes. No administrator has told teachers collectively that they're not responsible for the same amount of academic rigor as has been previously expected. For example, reading groups have continued to be pushed even when it's not physically feasible, or when considering that teaching only 3 students at a time is not a good use of limited academic time. Teachers feel that it would best serve students who learn remotely to have their own dedicated instructor, as most school districts have done, rather than a teacher who's instructing and supervising children and who are physically present. Additionally, more work is needed on classroom setups regarding students, especially while eating lunch in the classrooms. We were provided with lightweight, cloudy plastic barriers that are about a foot away from the children's unmasked faces. Additionally, there are classrooms that have tables instead of desks, which don't allow children to all face in the same direction, a guideline that has been given by CDC and DHHS. Clarification is needed on whether or not students can share playground items without sanitizing between uses. At the middle school, obviously, air quality and HVAC is a huge concern from every single person in that building. We've asked multiple times for the results of air quality testing at the middle school, haven't received them yet. Without a fully functional HVAC system, what makes the building safe for the current occupancy of staff, teachers, paraprofessionals, and some students? What is the test or assessment that has been done to make the statement that the building is safe? We're looking for the data. Who's done the testing? Who's done the assessment? The teachers need to know. Will the building be safe at the current occupancy when they have to close windows? Even though there's only a few students in the building, the size of the building, number of rooms in use, current staff occupancy warrants adequate custodial crew. It's our understanding that the middle school is still lacking custodial staff. If the building is not being properly cleaned, how can you address the concern of having people physically in the building? Additionally, at the middle school, teachers discovered that the hand sanitizer in the building was found to be rated as ineffective against coronavirus. The sanitizer was not changed until September 2nd. So teachers also want to know if other buildings have been checked for. At the high school, teachers teaching through the computer remotely as well as in person, I would say I have the same comments as I do about the middle school program. I have additional questions and comments for the board that I've written. I know there's a time thing, so I've made copies for the board members, and that's my public comment. Thank you.
Hold on.
Do you want one first?
Yeah.
Approximately 20 years ago, there was a study done inside the district. There was one carbon dioxide wand put in each of the six buildings, so we used the Alexandria Schoolhouse at that point in time. In middle school, it was down in room 12. That happened to be the room that I was in. They were trying to figure out why the black mold and mildew was coming up through the floor tiles. What they got was a result of room 12 having a 5 times higher level of carbon dioxide in that one room than all of the other school rooms combined. The engineer kind of made a joke to me about how I must have had a student blowing on the wand during the time it was going on because the level shouldn't have been that high. Well, it was Christmas vacation. I certainly wasn't inside the building, and I know I didn't have a student near the building. This report hasn't been found, I think I have in my doctor's, because it caused some health concerns for myself. In 2009, another study was done. That was the report that was just found by Jason Torsey inside of his files. That made the local news because Marie Ross, the superintendent at the time, brought the reporter from the Record Enterprise down to interview our wellness teacher, Ms. Frizzell, at the time, to talk about that room. Down in that wing, there's always been concerns. That entire north wall has been dug up to alleviate water leakage into those three classrooms. It didn't help. There's been drainage issues on that side, outside the cafeteria. There was a missed roof pitch above the LMC at one point, not a couple of years ago, where water came through my office and straight down into the social studies classroom and actually down all the way into the wellness office. I use the water and the bubbles in the water to my advantage of my students because I had them measuring them. I had them pop them. I had them guess and estimate how far it was going to shoot across the floor. Then I had them measure it. Excellent math. I walked in one day and found the floor wet. Well, it didn't rain the night before, so I wondered what had caused the water to be in the cafeteria and in room 12. The 500-gallon fish tank above us had burst and had come through the ceilings. Now, we all know water goes to its greatest and weakest point, so I don't know how far through the cafeteria that went through. Downstairs has been a mess. For 20 years, it has been a sore thumb to the people of this district. We've had band-aids after band-aids after band-aids after band-aids. You removed two ply windows and put in single ply windows, not using a professional company to do so, using the boys and the custodial staff to do it. I watched all that too. I actually put my hand through two windows. They were so weak, just trying to close them. Now we're coming up with this. I sat through the HEPA filters, and I can show you the recordings of how loud they were. The people with the ionization filters couldn't tell us why and how they worked, except they could tell us it worked extremely well with an HVAC system. The last time I stood in front of you, I commended you as a school board for the capital improvement plan. This year was supposed to have been the start of the new windows for 5 years inside the middle school. Next year was supposed to start the 5-year program for the HVAC. The only thing that we do is pay Honeywell their annual fee that we owe them for the next 6 years. You're going to hear a presentation. I hope it makes sense to you. The teachers in middle school want our kids. We want to be able to work. We can't open windows, some of the windows that don't open. We can't open windows in December, January, and February. It's time to really do the middle school the way it should have been done years and years ago. That's probably an unfavorable thought. Come on in while we're teaching this week. If you haven't been to the middle school, come in and see what the teachers are doing. See what the parents are doing. We're so spread out. And right now, I know the plans of trying to close this up to 5 years ago, bringing the elementary kids back up to grade 6. You have 300 students with a new arrival this morning inside the middle school. You're not going to put those 300 kids into the elementary schools or into this high school. You don't have the room in the district. Thank you.
Thanks, Tom.
Thank you.
So at this point, I'd like to go to the business that we modified the agenda to discuss outrightly, the ventilation at MMS. And we have some individuals who are prepared to present. Would you please continue?
Hi, my name is Mike Davey with Energy Efficient Investments based in Merrimack, New Hampshire. This is the first time I've done this. You guys can hear me all right. We were selected in July to do an energy assessment and building facilities assessment of the buildings in the district. That actually started under the previous business manager, who issued, with the approval of the school board, an RFQ. Several area contractors and engineering firms like ours responded, and the district called us in July and said that they selected EEI. A little bit of our background for people who aren't familiar with our company. In the last, we work with almost all the largest school districts in New Hampshire, including Plymouth Regional, Portsmouth, Keene, Manchester. We work on improving the building heating and ventilation systems. In 2016, we did a comprehensive project for Plymouth Regional High School. There's a big wood chip heating plant that we put in there, and also added ventilation to the science wing. That was completed 4 years ago. When Jason from the facilities department called us at Pierre, they said that the number one focus has to be, before we get into looking at LED lights and wood heat, we need you to focus on the middle school and see what options may be available and what types of time frames to address the concern of a building of that size with no active ventilation system. So the building has no ventilation in almost any area. There was a 1950s exhaust system that has long since failed. Even if that were able to be repaired, it would not bring in fresh air or meet any current codes. So we have a large commercial building with no ventilation. It also lacks supply ductwork. So there are a couple options that could be done. However, we wanted to focus on what system should go in as the right system and not provide a bunch of potentially cheaper but Band-Aid style solutions. So the way we've done this is looking at energy recovery ventilation units, which would be mostly located on the rooftop, and then new ductwork supply and return added to all the areas that were impacted, which would provide ventilation. If the entire proposal was approved, would provide new ventilation to the entire school building. To talk a little bit about energy recovery ventilation, the bridge, Hebron that has a newer school?
Yeah. Bridgewater-Hebron Village School.
Yes, and that school has a ducted energy recovery system like we would recommend. So it's a central system that does many classrooms, and the exhaust air is used to preheat the incoming air without an actual exchange of the air. So it reduces energy bills by about 60% on buildings with ventilation. Every school in the city of Manchester, every single one of the 22 schools, this is the system that they've instituted. Energy recovery rooftops with boilers for the heating side. And those rooftops have hot water coils that are fed from the boiler. So I broke this out in many different ways, area by area. The entire project to do ventilation, including taking down ceilings, putting in ductwork, lighting, is estimated at $2.2 million. And then I broke that out in various ways if there's insufficient funds to do everything. So on the bottom of the sheet, I did a breakout that said, if you just did a portion of the building, how much would that breakout be, and how many classrooms could you potentially gain? So option one would be to do the cafeteria and the gym only, upgrade the electrical service. So the primary electrical service is about 600 amps. A building of this size should have about 1,000 amp service. And there's also two separate services that come into the building. There's a 6 and a 4, and they're all from the 1950s. We recommend, rather, if you're going to go the route of putting the ventilation in, don't try and power it from these 1950s panels. They're made by a company called Federal Pacific that has been out of business for as long as I've been alive, and getting parts is very difficult. So we're recommending upgrading the electrical service if you do the ventilation project. So the thought being for option one, if you did the CAF in the gym, that might be about $626,000. And it's possible that those spaces could have temporary walls installed and open up some areas for classroom teaching under one scenario. Another option, which is option two, is in the vicinity of $1.5 million. This would do all your classrooms. So it would not do the calf in the gym, but it would handle all the classrooms in the school. And then option three would be $1.1 million, and that would be to do the gym, the calf, the electrical service, and number four, which would provide ventilation to rooms 131 through 138 and 219 through 255. I didn't know what the budget situation would be, so I thought it would be beneficial to have some breakouts and some different options before the board. A next thing that I will mention is many districts that do projects like this, such as Plymouth High School, financed it over time with a municipal lease. So I provided a leasing budget that would say if you wanted to do various options, how much it may cost to be funded with a lease. So in Plymouth High School, we did a project, I believe it was $2.3 million. It was financed by a lease over 19 years. And so the payments, I think, are a couple hundred thousand a year at Plymouth High School, and they're on year five of doing it that way. So we wanted to provide kind of a high level view of all the options, then some sub options. And lastly, option nine would be to add dehumidification. So there, we've heard numerous times from Jason, and I think it was mentioned by during public comment, that there's been concerns about humidity, which can lead to mold and mildew. And so dehumidification in those units as an option would alleviate that issue. And we have that, although it won't help you if a fish tank breaks, but otherwise, for natural humidity, it'll help. So those options, 1, 2, and 3, I'm assuming the dehumidification portion, but that could be taken out. So I know this is a lot of information, and this is a little bit of an expedited time frame because of the seriousness of the concerns about the lack of ventilation. So hopefully this is a good introduction to what we've been working on. Any questions?
Questions? Comments?
Jason or Bill, did you guys have anything you wanted to add?
Mike, could you just speak to the time frame on this?
Yeah, so the time frame, of course, depends on the question, for anybody who's listening and could hear the question. What would be the time frame of doing something like this? Typically, we just did a project like this for the New Franklin Elementary School in Portsmouth this summer. Typically, a comprehensive project like this takes the majority of a summer break, about 10 weeks to do. So that being said, if the board approved the comprehensive option of doing the entire school, it would most likely mean the majority of the school wouldn't be available until sometime in December time frame. Now, there's other options, like the gym may be able to get a little quicker. That may be more like 6 to 8 weeks. But to do the comprehensive option realistically means that building would be primarily a construction zone for the months of October and November and part of December.
Mike, in the financing options, do you have the number if the board was going to do the whole project?
So the amounts, all of the amounts that I requested were based on the board using some potential surplus or expendable trust fund. So I provided an option of $1.2 million of a loan amount, $1.5 million, and $1 million even. Now, if given 10 minutes, I can break it out to any other amount you want.
If we do the whole amount, it'll be $188,100
as payment
per year for 15 years.
Okay, sorry. Robin did it quicker than I did.
Could you say that again, please, Robin?
The annual amount would be $188,100.
If the entire amount was leased, it'd be $188,000 this year. Yeah. Is that over 15 years?
Yes.
Over 15 years.
And that's with the, how much money being put up front?
That was with no money put up front.
Oh, that's no money.
The entire amount would be $1,200.
So just for people who aren't familiar with these leases, it's similar to a car payment. Sometimes districts put money down from surplus from accidental trust. For example, when we did the Shaker Regional School District in Belmont Canterbury, they used $300,000 in surplus to shorten their term or to shorten their borrowing amount. Plymouth put nothing down, financed the entire amount over 18 years.
Yeah, I got a question.
Go ahead, Jeff.
So, what type of filtration will this system use?
This would have MERV 13 filtration, which, so typically, pre-COVID, the ventilation that most air handlers used is what's called a MERV 8. So if you just ordered a furnace for your house or an air conditioner for a car dealership, most of the time they would come with a MERV 8 filter. Its primary purpose is to take pollen and to take pollutants and not let them get to your heating coil. So that was the primary focus of HVAC filters. As a result of the pandemic, ASHRAE, which is the society that governs HVAC design, recommended for commercial buildings going up to MERV 13. They're not hospital level filters, but what they're small enough that they are 60% more effective against flu virus than MERV 8 is. All the study of COVID hasn't really been done yet. It's a new enough thing that air filtration is not the number one place they're spending the money on that, but MERV 13 is what the HVAC is recommending now for commercial construction. It's possible to go higher. The higher you go, the more expensive the filters get, and the more frequently you have to change them because they get clogged up because they're catching everything. And then your energy goes higher because you're using more energy to push through. So MERV 13.
Will this system be recirculating interior air?
No.
Or strictly fresh air exchange?
Strictly fresh air exchange.
So the filters will be filtering incoming outside air from the roof?
That's their primary purpose.
So we heard that there were water, mold, other issues in the middle school that were prominent, and the air filtration system is going to address some of that if we adopt the units with dehumidification.
That's right.
Is that right?
That's right.
Jason, I'd like to know if there are other issues that are unresolved that are going to, in addition to this, have to be addressed at the middle school to get a comprehensive fix on this so that we're not patching things and we're fixing things permanently. This is a big number, and to think about looking down the road at what will need to be added to it for the other things, windows, I think, for example. I know that we have a plan for our facilities, but what part of that plan is going to be adjusted, both in time and in finance, to be able to take on this number?
So, your first question was the mold issues.
that were previously addressed in the incoming water that we get, usually around January, February, when the water, when the surface of the ground is frozen, the water building up has nowhere else to go because the hydrostatic pressure is just forcing its way through the concrete. So I've spoke with a couple foundation repair companies, and one of our main goals before winter hits is to get that entire area alongside that wall going down from room 8 all the way down to the cafeteria, get that foundation wall dug up, get any micro cracks that are forming through the concrete, get those cracks filled, have the wall treated with a waterproofing material. They'll then be putting a dimple board along it, which will force the water to go down instead of into the concrete, putting in proper drainage stones, connecting it to a catch basin that's located nearby, and hopefully that would solve our incoming water issue.
And do you have numbers associated with that for dollars?
So I had gotten a quote in the beginning of the spring, I believe it was, just to do the front corner of the building towards Lake Street along that wall up to room 12 was $6,000. So after speaking in the facilities committee, we talked about, well, if we're there, we might as well keep it going and treat the rest of it as well. So I'm meeting with them in 2 weeks. That was the earliest they were able to come back out to reassess the foundation issues, to look for any other cracks that they might be able to find, and to give us a cost to do that entire side of that foundation wall.
And we've already budgeted for that?
We worked with him. We spoke with Jason, and the facilities committee spoke with Robin as well, and Bill. We all spoke about trying to see if we could, in the middle of Jay, about trying to work it into the operating budget so it's not something coming at because of the $2.2 million question. They were going to work together to try to figure something out.
This year's operating budget?
Yes.
And the windows, are they pertinent to the filtration system in any way?
So the State of New Hampshire guidelines say that as a result of COVID, say ventilate as much as possible, and they do encourage natural ventilation. So open windows are good, and actually in this case, if you're trying to ventilate and you don't have a ventilation system, leaky windows are actually better than high efficient windows. So without a ventilation system, don't upgrade your window. One of the things that we would want to look into, obviously that was part of our capital improvement plan, is to upgrade the windows. But right now the priority is getting fresh air ventilation into the building, because obviously in January, February, you can't have the windows open. It's just not feasible. So that would be the next step into improving the building at the middle school, is after the ventilation issue is solved, to then focus on the window replacement of the building.
Jason, just a quick question, if I may, Mike.
Yep.
In terms of looking at doing this in the immediate now,
yep.
What does that look like for that schedule for those windows that were supposed to be starting that process? Like how far down the line does that?
I'm not
shift
too sure
that?
If it would push us too far out. Obviously, that was more ahead of schedule than the ventilation was on the capital improvement plan. But I think looking at it through an energy audit and looking into performance contracting, I think it's something that is still feasible in the near future.
Thank you.
Mike, if I could.
Yeah.
So as far as the financing goes, Robin Reinhold and I recommend that the board has the Expendable Trust Fund, which tonight we're going to suggest we transfer from surplus $350,000 into it. So we have nearly $750,000 there. So we recommend taking $500,000 out of there, that account. We don't want to deplete it, bring it to zero, still keep us at $250,000 for future projects and to build on, or if we need it for emergency purposes. And then we have a sizable surplus from last year's budget, which the board can vote to use their retention policy, which allows them to retain 2.5% of your net assessed value of your district, which puts it just over $500,000. So, and that would still return, so if we took $500,000 from there, we could still return $500,000 to taxpayers in surplus. So that would put us at $1 million as a payment towards the project out of funds that we have available, and it would put us onto the option one payment schedule that Mr. Davey provided, where our annual payment would be $103,300. So that's what we're suggesting, and it seems like a good balance of still retaining some of our money for our capital, for our expendable trust fund, and still returning some money to the taxpayers, and it gets us almost halfway there of paying for the project. I think to Jason's question about the windows, we've discussed this at length in our office over and over again, and we feel that the ventilation has risen up to the highest priority now, so we can return, get our students back in school, and then the windows would go secondary. This project also includes, I don't know if Mike emphasize that or not, but all LED lighting as well would be completed with this. And there is there will be a savings annually for that. And I don't know if you have an idea.
We anticipate that electric bill will go down by about $20,000 with the LED lights. The downside is your heating bill is going to go up a little bit when you ventilate, so that's going to take away some of that benefit.
Yeah.
Good evening, Jay Lewis, principal at the Mill School. And as you as a board think about what's before you, I want to share a question with you that was asked of me at a recent facilities meeting. And since the question has been asked, I haven't been able to stop thinking about it because I don't really have an answer for it. And the question that was asked of me is, on any given day, how many kids are absent at the middle school? And does that have anything to do with the HVAC system? I knew the answer to how many kids were absent. I don't know the answer to, does that have anything to do with the HVAC system? But that scares me a lot to think about maybe that we've got kids that are missing school and probably even some adults because of the HVAC situation at the middle school. And so my request is, as you think about this, my request is for you to take on the whole project. And just do all of it. I know it's a lot of money, but when you think about the health and safety of the kids and the adults in the building, to me it's worth it.
Mike, may I say something?
Absolutely, Heidi.
As head of the facilities committee, when we were at a meeting on Tuesday, my days are running together, and this was presented, and I know this has been a huge pain in the butt for everybody. I get it, I totally get it. And I was the one that suggested we pull out as much money as we can safely and legally and then finance the rest and get it all done at one time. And I know it's going to be a huge issue for our teachers being remote for a period of time. And we do want your feedback on that, but I feel that we need to get this done now. They gave us three options here, and if we do it separately, those three options, it's over $3 million to do the three separate options. And I agreed with Jay that we need to get this done now, quickly, safely, because we want you in school to be safe. Do you want to add anything?
No, I know the other question that that came up at facilities meeting were to see if we could get numbers on how many families this would be a absolute hardship for.
Yeah.
To be closed until January, because I wanted us as a board to be able to make fully educated decisions. But I mean, like everybody said, you know, the health and safety of everybody at that middle school is so important. We were there. We heard the jet engine ventilation system. I wouldn't be able to pay attention in school as well. So I just don't think that that's a feasible option. That is a good learning environment for the students. So do you happen to have that information?
Yeah, so I do. Go ahead.
So we did pose that question. Yeah. It was 175 folks responding.
Yeah.
It was almost a 50-50 split between yes, it would be an additional hardship, and no, it would not. The specific numbers were 96 or 54.9% of the people said yes, it would be an additional hardship. 83 or 47.4% said no, it would not. Of those folks that said it would be, it really boils down to three issues. One-to-one help from the teacher coming in at the biggest concern, followed by childcare, and then having multiple children trying to work remotely in the same home.
Thank you for that, Jay.
So I guess I'll state one obvious factor, and it would be that our teaching plan is going to have to be modified, obviously, if this work continues through December, and that it would, just to put in the record permanently, mean that we're remote learning at the middle school. And we just heard the stats on who cares about that or who doesn't. Yes.
So I just wanted to point out that we have, as a community, been kicking this down the road for years. 20 years ago, we knew this was a problem. Back in 2009, not only did we know it was a problem, but we were laughing stock in the state because of this problem. Now we have a serious situation where it needs to be dealt with. There are mechanisms in place that we can make it happen. And now is the time. We'd be remiss to do anything different.
Yeah, I'd just like to say that I agree with Jeff and Melissa and Heidi. To band-aid it in small pieces over time, by the time we get to the third phase, the first phase is gonna need some updating, I'm sure. Unfortunately, you know, in recent historic memory, things have been pushed off, which is why some of the facilities around the district are in the state that they are. And I mean, I would be on board with footing the whole project, moving it forward so that the building is safe for staff, safe for students, and get kids back as quickly as possible. It's a long-term solution, you know, for a short-term, you know, period of continued remote learning. So, not ideal, but it's been ongoing for years. So we if we can address it, I think we want to.
So Robin, that $188,000 finance charge is the total amount over how many years?
That would be the annual amount over 15 years if we were to finance a whole 2.2, but we're not suggesting
right.
that.
So do we have the finance numbers for 2,218,000?
Yes, that's what it was.
Oh, excuse me, 1,118,000?
Yes, on the sheet that you have,
mm-hmm.
up on the top on the right-hand side, the four different options, and as we had mentioned, we're suggesting either have us put down payment of the 1.023 million or the 1 million even, taking 2.5% out of the contingency fund, about $523,000, and then the remaining out of the maintenance fund, leaving an amount left just in case of emergencies.
So
I think we suggested either the second or the third option,
Those annual payments are either just over $101,000 or $103,000. Obviously, not too much difference. And that would leave either $219,000 in the maintenance fund or $242,000 in the maintenance fund for 2016.
How long would it take for us to apply to get the approval to use the contingency fund? And how long would it take to get an answer?
Yeah, so that requires us an application to the Department of Education, and we have a new executive order by the governor to expedite that. So it's 2 days now that they're required to make that decision, and they're approving all of them. They have a lot of these in the state, specifically around ventilation. So it would just be a matter of the board authorizing me to make that application, and we would know in a few days.
Why are we not going with the first option where the annual amount would be $84,000? I'm just thinking long-term taxpayers.
That option leaves, as on the right-hand side, it's taken $697,000 out of the maintenance fund. And okay. At this time, if you guys approve $350,000 that is supposed to go in there, the total maintenance fund at that point only has $719,000. So that only leaves $22,000 in the maintenance fund if we did it.
One other question, just to be clear, if this gets approved, if the waiver goes through to the state to be able to go through and move forward and access some of those contingency funds, once this loan payment is agreed to, that will then go into part of our default budget calculation, am I correct, moving into next fiscal year?
In the first year, it has to be in your regular budget. And then after that, it'll go in your default budget. So the first year, the taxpayers have to approve the project, and it'll be in its own line in the budget where they can see it. So they will be approving it if they approve the budget. Then beyond that, after the first year, it'll go to your default budget. That's correct.
So there is no finance charge now through next June?
No.
Right.
So say we're allowed, say finally we may get money from Gopher or CARES Act or something, we could use it to pay off. There's no early, is there any early determination, like say we got CARES Act money because
there is a slight,
whatever, I'm just.
There is a slight paying off penalty on the back, let's see.
So what's typically you can
thank you.
Pay it off at any point for a 2%
premium.
Yep. So at any point you can pay off the entire thing for a 2% premium.
That's 2% of the in total borrowed. Financed
the
amount.
It's actually the
remaining balance, right.
Has there been any discussion, knowing that this will be part of, potentially be part of a tax cap budget where the budget can only go up a little over $200,000 for this first year, how we would come up with that extra, realistically, we're already at a bare bones budget year after year, because this would eat almost half of what our budget is allowed to go up. Just curious on thoughts about that at this point.
Well, we've discussed it with the administrative team, just kind of put everybody on notice that this is a reality that we might be facing pending school board approval, and it kind of syncs up with our budget development process, which is starting now. We've just begun that, and because we'll be presenting for the board a budget in early November, so we will have to look within those budget requests and make some decisions and look at all, you know, there's a lot of different variables that go into that budget. There are things that are one-off, you know, like this year you're paying for it, but you only had that 1 year, and that expense is not going to be there next year. So all of those things we have to look at and consider. But I think everybody in the room the day that I mentioned it agreed, as far as the principals go, that this is really needs to be a priority, and they understood that they would be willing to do some belt tightening and whatever it would take to get this going. But we didn't get to specifics yet.
Would that include altering the facilities committee plan budget over the next several years to contribute to the finance chart?
I mean, the capital improvement plan. Yeah,
I mean, we have to find it somewhere. And Pierre said we'll meet that challenge when we face it with the numbers. But do you think it's agreeable to the maintenance folks to see that contribution being part of the plan? If we do approve this, what is the likelihood that as a package we will have safe air, good ventilation, no mold, new windows, and conceivably a place of comfort and safety for our students without coming back for more funds? What is that likelihood?
Well, new windows isn't included on this.
Yeah, I know.
Not included.
Right.
So that would be for down the road. But as far as the students coming back to a safer building, 100% they're going to. One of the standards that one of the safe levels that are set by ASHRAE and the Department of Education are CO2 recommended CO2 levels in the classrooms. Right around 1,000 parts per million. Mm-hmm. 1,000 to 1,200 parts per million is considered acceptable levels. I recently uncovered from a 2009 air quality test done by Honeywell before any of their before that performance contract was put into place. And I'd say more than half of the classrooms in the middle school were at least double that limit. We're talking 2,000. 2,500, 2,600 parts per million, more than double the recommended CO2 level for a classroom. So to bring in fresh air, you're guaranteeing that these kids are going to have a much safer environment to learn, without a doubt.
Would you say that there's no other heavy-duty structural deficiency that is left unaddressed that would make the efficacy of this HVAC lessened? If you see what I mean, we want a premium, we're paying a premium dollar for a great response. Is there anything else in the structure of the building that's not going to let that perform the way we expect it to?
No, so last week, Mike and I met with a few engineers. We met with a structural engineer, electric engineer, and HVAC engineer. Went through the building, opened up ceilings. They did a really thorough evaluation of the building itself. Besides maybe having to put a couple beams across in a couple areas just to support these big units, just in case, they saw no areas of major concern, even for years down the road. One of the words that they said, they don't build them like they used to. You know, it's a solid school. After some electrical upgrades, that's really one of the big things. Is really old electrical panels, old wiring that's in the building. So bring that up, you know, bring the windows up, maybe do some plumbing, some renovations to the old looking bathrooms. You're gonna have a brand new looking school.
So you're obviously recommending this.
Yes.
Anybody else? Brian?
I guess my biggest problem with it is that on us Thursday about let's do the whole thing, $2.2 million. We'll take money from here, take money from there, and we'll finance it. I think while I agree we need to do it, I think there's one step missing here. I think we should have had, I still think we should have public input, public hearing on this. I'm not going to suggest that we go through the time frame of a special school district voting meeting, but I think we have a responsibility to the taxpayers for them to give input from some of the parents, although I can't imagine any parents saying, no, I don't want the school fixed. But if it's going to be a longer duration, I think we need to put our heads together and try to see if there are some alternatives to some of these kids not having to be remote. If we can pull some of the sixth graders into some of the elementary schools, if we could pull some of the eighth graders into the high school, and then try to accommodate in a part of the school or in another location those students who want to try to do a blend of remote instead of fully remote. Although this would be a much different situation if it was an elementary school, because elementary school kids at home at 8 years old, 7 years old is not plausible. But if you have neighbors, the idea of a 13 or 14 year old being home is a little bit more acceptable, especially if they're remote learning and there's time that they're being supervised, albeit via remote learning. But my problem is that I think the part missing of this is having public hearing on this and getting public input. So that would be my only holdback of supporting this, because I think this whole lease thing is a way around a bond requirement, because this has been defeated in the past. But I think we can trust the voters to see the wisdom of this and the need for this, of all things at this point in time, air circulation. But I would strongly support us having as fast of a public hearing on this as possible, and then move forward. If there's a week or two delay.
So what type of a time frame would we be on to have a board meeting that the public is, we have a hearing for them to express?
Well, if I can speak to that, some good points, Fran. I did research us having a special school district meeting. You can petition the courts for that, and I was told that it would take us between 2 and 2.5 months to get an approval. And then after that, because we're SB2 and you have the requirements for posting meetings with your you have to have a deliberative session and then your meeting, and those have to be 28 days apart. So basically we're looking at 3 or 3.5 months before we could get approval. So when we got to that, I just said I didn't think it was a great idea. When I left our last board meeting and the board approved $60,000 for the temporary solution, and we also approved EEI for doing the energy audit, I thought it was important for me to provide the school board with an additional option. So and thankfully Mike answered the call, and he was up in a couple of days and brought his team with him. And so that's kind of how we got here today. I understand your point about not having a public hearing. I suppose to Mike's question, I mean, that would add, you know, with posting requirements and things, we'd be at least 2 weeks, I would think, before we would have be able to have that public hearing. So that just, now we're pushing the project back further. I mean, it's really up to the board to decide that, but it was on the agenda for tonight's meeting. The ventilation was on the agenda for tonight, and I see that a lot of people did show up tonight. So you have somebody with a hand up.
Yeah, well, just before we hear from others, and I'm going to let that happen, public comments came and went, but this is very important, so we'll hear to people who have the concern. Is this worth waiting 2 weeks to vet in order to have the satisfaction of the community as well as the health of the kids addressed by this $2.2 million.
How long of a posting period for a public hearing?
I'm not familiar with that. I would have to, I was not prepared for
we
that.
We do have daily newspapers. We could put it in the Laconia paper later.
Yeah.
It's a week, you know, we could shave that to 9 days, and we could vote that night. But I really think the public should be fully briefed on the amount of dollars and exactly what it would do and the impact of the extra time of the online learning. You know, unless you're really following this stuff, people wouldn't have picked up all that. The school board is going to be looking at spending $2.2 million, which is the vote of 7 people. I think the public would be astonished at that.
We could work to expedite that and get it as a short amount of time as possible. I don't know right now what that would be, but certainly we could work on that tomorrow morning and we'd have an answer for you.
Yes.
I'm one of the few parents that showed up for this meeting. I believe we should have a say that at this point, I'd rather have my kids go to school, fix the building, move on to the next problem. The kids need to be in that building going to school. Make the decision, get the job done. Stop. Most of the parents can't afford to keep waiting, waiting, waiting. The teachers can't handle it. They can't teach online classes. They don't have time to help the kids that are virtual, and they don't have time to help the kids that are in the classroom. We need this building fixed. We need our children to go to school on a regular basis. Parents and the community should be allowed to voice their opinion. We've had meeting after meeting. We know this is a problem. This has been a problem for years. It's time to just bypass the public, which is totally against my normal thinking, and just fix the building. Fix the building. We need the building fixed.
Thank you. Sheila?
Now, I just had a question. Pierre said earlier about when you were trying to figure out where you were pulling the money from, there was some money from what is available to give back to taxpayers, but still give back to taxpayers. Why would we do that? Why would we keep it all and not have to finance that remaining portion? And that just seems like a waste of funds. If it's just legally able to be kept, to be used, why would we use it?
We are able to. We are an SB2 town. We are only able to keep 2.5% of our net assessment, which is at $520,000. We cannot keep any more than that in the contingency fund to use. We are allowed to by law.
I'm going to move that we expedite a public hearing and that Pierre does that work for us to reconvene to hear the issues and I'd like discussion on that. I'm not actually making a motion, I'm suggesting that. I think that would be a good step. Yep.
The only comment I have about that is none of the other districts that are approaching the state to use funding right now under an emergency are having public hearings. You know, the governor's emergency order, I think, covers a lot of this. And we've been told by our attorney that we're okay. Just a bit of information.
Thank you. Anyone else? Yes?
Hi, Mr. O'Malley. I've had three kids go through the middle school. My third is in eighth grade now. My 21-year-old, when he was in the middle school, used to get dizzy spells from the carbon dioxide in the classrooms. And that was years ago. This problem, the public is aware of it. The taxpayers are aware of it. They need it fixed. I want my children to be safe. I want my children to be healthy. I'm also a teacher in this district. I understand what it's like to have a child call for what we thought was going to be 1 month remote. I'm teaching full-time in the elementary schools. I can't be home to support her. But if she needs to be home till December, remote, she would rather be home, safe, breathing clean air, and come in for the last half of her school year, as would I, and to work remotely for the next few months. It's not a choice. This has to be fixed, because if you don't fix it, they can't come back to the building and be safe. Mr. Lewis, you sent an email requesting if this would be an impact on parents. I actually said that it would impact me because you didn't address that it was a health concern to the building. If you had said the building is not safe for your child to be there, would you like them or would it impact you to be remote? Yes, it would, but do I choose it? Yes. So it does have a negative impact on my family, but I would still make that choice for my daughter to be remote through December than to be in the building where it's not safe. It's not a choice anymore. It has to be fixed.
I think there's an aging demographic in this area, so when this does go public, they're all gonna be like, oh, we don't want our taxes to go up. No, we can't bring in younger people if our building's in this kind of shit condition.
Thank you. Anyone else? All right. Thank you very much for the presentation. Thank you for the time and the effort. Thank you for the thoroughness of your figures. It gives us a lot to talk about as usual, and we'll move to the agenda approval at the end of the meeting. Yes.
So are we doing a public hearing then? Or no?
Somebody would have to motion.
Okay, and somebody would have to make a motion to have a public hearing, but there would have to be a second and then discussion.
I don't have a problem with doing the work, but I have a problem with this. I think that there should be more public notice and public comment.
Do you want to make a motion in that respect, Fran?
Well, I think it's probably useless.
Mike, at the end of the meeting, you take motion.
I'd like to be recognized to make a motion.
This is not on the agenda item. It's on the idea of postponing any motion on the agenda item to vote in order to look at a public meeting.
Doesn't that come at the end?
Right. Well, we don't take any votes till the end of the meeting.
Right.
Okay.
So you'll have to table that until we get there. Okay. All right. Thank you, everybody. Moving along. Do we have any correspondence?
No, we don't.
We don't. Okay. Student liaison report.
So, I'm really remote.
Can't hear.
You go up to the microphone.
Or just, she has a microphone there. The public can hear, but we can't hear you.
Yeah, we can't hear.
So, I'm a student that I've been.
You're
going
to have to take it down
because
I can't hear you.
Sorry. And it's been going fairly smoothly for the full remote kids. The concerns that I've heard is mostly scheduling conflicts. That's a really big issue. But other than that, the kids aren't totally new to the remote system because we're in spring. So, I'd say the only two concerns are, from what I've heard right now,
thank you. Pierre, do you have a report?
I have a report. It'll also include on the agenda the school opening and debriefing. So a few updates. Project, I've been meeting. I met with Sue Severance from Project Promise and the principals in the elementary school. They'll be starting their programming on September 14th. We did get notification also last week that the USDA is going to extend the free meals for all students as they did last year through the rest of the calendar year. And that'll, so all students, free meals at all the schools, and that'll include remote learners. They would just have to come to the school and pick up the meals. So we thought that was a great thing. I've been working closely with the bus company. Our concerns about ridership and the number of students. And right now it's going very well, mostly because we don't have any middle school students. But that is going well. All students are wearing masks on the bus, and the bus drivers are wearing masks. So if we do run into a situation when we get the middle school back online, and if we have too many students, speaking with the people at First Student, they will run double runs. The same bus will go twice. And they said they would not charge us extra for that. So I thought that was pretty nice. And one of the concerns is the route between downtown Bristol and out here to the high school is a busy ride. So that would be a short trip, and they could do that twice. So we do have a plan in place, but right now we don't need to do that. Primarily it's because of the middle school. I know that Paul Horius, our principal up here, tells me that the families are working very hard to provide their own transportation, their carpooling, and things like that to reduce ridership on the buses. You know, we've only been open a few days, but logistically things seem to be going okay. We did have a lot of discussion about lunch in the middle school, and so there were some concerns that we didn't have enough space for the students. So we have been able to fix that in three out of the four buildings. You have to understand the Bristol Elementary School has a lot of students in it and not a lot of auxiliary spaces. So we're using the plexiglass, trifold shields, and they're eating their lunch at their tables, at their desk, without the mask. But in the other three buildings, they're being moved into places where they can sit 6 feet apart and not have to use a mask. I did provide to the board a document which was really, I think, gonna be helpful to the superintendents on guidance on closing or reopening schools. And if you look at what it does, for the people who haven't seen it, it helps you sort of grade your district and figure out where you fit in based on your data on positivity test rates, data on the number of infections per 100,000 people. And we fall in the minimal category in both cases. So based on the data that Department of Health and Human Services is providing us, we should be in-person learning, which is what we're doing. We would be in the middle school if it wasn't for the ventilation. So it just confirms the fact that we're doing the right thing, and we're doing the right thing in the elementary school with in-person learning. This is also will be used as a tool for superintendents to determine if there was a COVID-19 case, how do we respond to that, whether we stay open or not, and there's guidance in there. So I did forward that to the school board. You didn't get that link? You're the only one? Oh.
No, none of us have it, no.
Oh, okay. I thought I will forward it to you.
Thank you.
Unless you sent it the late this afternoon in an email.
No, okay. It was last week. It was last week in an email. But that's okay. It's not important right now. I can send it out to you again. Let me see. We know about middle school. High school is in the hybrid model. And I asked Paul Horius, you know, would he be able to open fully and with all of his students? And he said not likely. He would not be able to maintain 3-foot spacing with a mask if he had all of his students. He's got a lot of students in some of those classes that would be too close, so he's not comfortable with that. We started athletic practices today, and then I also provided the school board with enrollment data. So if you see that, you can see that last year in June, you closed at 1,208 students, and we opened with 1,172 students, so about 30 students fewer. We have 161 remote learners, which are included. They're included in that enrollment number. And we have 54 students who are homeschooling. So, and that is up. We have had an uptick in homeschoolers. So we're up about 23 students there for homeschool. But overall, it looks like we've held steady. When you look at it, you see some schools went up a little, some schools went down a little. But being down only about 30 students is not really that much based on 1,200 students. So that's what I have for my report. Does anybody have any questions?
Questions? Thank you, Peter. Any other comments, announcements, recognitions? All right, moving on to new business. Date for our deliberative session.
Yeah, so we met, the budget committee met already once, and I had Sue Cross work on determining the date for the deliberative session, and that's all based on when your annual meeting, when your vote is in March, and then you count back from there. So the alternative, what I'm recommending is that we have a deliberative session on January 30th. That's a Saturday, that's when you typically have it here. And that provides us with a snow day of the following Monday, which is what you've done in the past, of February 1st. And that still gives us time, if for some reason we had two snow days, that we could still get in the deliberative session and still meet the mandate for the number of days. Because like I said earlier in the meeting, you need to have 28 days between your deliberative session and your annual meeting. And your annual meeting, I believe, is March 9th. Is it on here? So yes, March 9th. So I'm recommending that for January 30th and for February 1st. And then I can bring that to the budget committee at a next meeting.
Questions? No. That'll require our vote at the end of the meeting.
At the end of the meeting, mm-hmm. Sure. Mm-hmm.
January 30, right?
Yes.
All right. Decision on our retained fund balance transfer.
So that's the 2.5% we've been talking about today. So the board needs to take action. We would recommend that you make that decision and vote on it tonight. So then we're prepared for whichever direction you decide to go in, and we'll have that retained there for, and that the purpose of that retention, even pre-COVID, is for emergency purposes, which we're in now, or to reduce taxes. So you're right in line with what the purpose of that is. So we recommend that 2.5%, which would be, what is the exact amount?
The exact is $523,000.
I put the $523 on the MS-25, but I believe it's $523,777. Thank you. Now we want to talk about the approval to transfer up to $350,000 into the expendable trust fund, the building maintenance.
That was you had a warrant article for that in March, the voters approved. So the board, the wording of the article was up to, so which means that the board has a decision, and we suggest doing the up to $350,000, that's coming out of surplus. That's the most you can do that the voters authorize you to put into that account. So that would go into the expendable trust fund to help pay for the ventilation.
The New Hampshire School Board Association call for resolutions. In our packet we had an item that asked for a school board designee to participate, how I read it. Any questions?
So this would be an opportunity for the board to propose a resolution to the School Boards Association. We haven't done one as long as I've been on the board.
Anybody prepared to write one or have thoughts about what should be in it in order for us to do this for the first time? Seeing none, we'll continue in good faith with the New Hampshire School Board without it. MS-25 signatures needed.
I have the MS-25 here. I just need definitive decisions on the approval to transfer up to 350 and the decision on retained fund balance, which is already in, on this. If those two are approved at what we had suggested, this is a completed document and we just need signatures on it.
Okay. So that those signatures are pending the outcome of the motions for those funds. Thank you. So an old business here gave some updates on the school opening plan, debriefing and adjustments. Are there others?
Nope.
No? Okay. We have some time again for some public comment. Anybody want to follow up?
Mike, if I may.
Yes.
It's not on the agenda item. It came into my email about 7 o'clock for a parent. I just wanted to share it, if that's okay.
Sure.
Just a good evening. Sorry this is coming to you so late, but I just got home from picking up my 8th grader from the high school soccer practice, which is why I'm sending this message. An email came out last week from the high school athletic director to announce that since NMMS has foregone their fall athletic season of competition, and since there are no current practices held, 8th graders would be allowed to practice with the high school teams. I'm writing to ask for approval for the 8th graders to continue the season at the high school. Sports are an integral part of the school for many students. I'm glad that it was recognized as such at the high school level, but would like to add that it's just more that it's just as important for the middle school level, maybe even more important, since these kids don't have the social interactions of school yet. Like I said, I just got back from picking up my son, and it was so great to see the smiles on the sweaty kids leaving the field. The schedule's out. There's not a lot of games, and the ones that are scheduled are against other low-risk districts. Please consider letting the 8th graders continue the season at the high school. And that's from Susan Colby from Bristol.
And is it Alex, the athletic director, that would be continuing that participation,
right,
plus some sanction?
Jay wants to speak.
Jay.
So they're going to continue at the high school until we start the drills and skills in the middle school, which we're planning to start September 21.
Okay. Go ahead.
So I am also like Sue Colby. I have an 8th grader that's been practicing with the high school field hockey team. We are not going to have any games on the middle school level. It has been a past practice that if we needed a JV player, we pulled from 8th grade and let them play on our junior varsity teams. Well, we're kind of all short-handed. We probably need the players. Why can't we just let them play, let the 8th graders play like a normal thing? Why do they have to go back down to middle school just to run skills and drills instead of getting actual play time? I mean, it's been normal that we've had 8th graders play on our junior varsity teams forever.
So one of the reasons that we talked about having them come back is because the 8th graders do play a critical role in being role models for the 6th and 7th graders through athletics. The other reason that we said that they would need to come back is due to thinking that we're coming back to the building at some point. Obviously, there's some conversation about when that is going to be, but when we come back to the building, the initial plan was that for the safety of the students, we're going to have them not be at the high school level playing games with the high school students.
To have a practice with the same high school students and then send them to kids that they have never met around all season. It doesn't make sense.
So if I understand it, Jason, then Alex will have to handle the decision regarding how 8th graders can or cannot participate in JV.
My understanding as a parent of an 8th grader is that they were going to be allowed to practice but not participate in games, was the understanding I got
that is
from the meeting.
That was correct.
Okay.
from the original intent from when they started asking the eighth graders to come up and play?
Correct.
That was not what the parents got.
That is what they should have got.
But okay. That's not how it came across to the parents.
That's... Deidre?
Are we still on public comments?
Yes, you are.
So I just want to add to my paper that I passed out to you, there are suggestions and solutions on the last page. It wasn't just a bunch of complaints, so I want to make sure that you can get that. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, we don't need a motion for the consent agenda. Motion on individual items. The first is the ventilation repair contract discussion and proposal. Open the floor for motions.
We don't have anything on the consent agenda, right?
Right.
And the minutes, I just want to make a comment because we kind of skipped over approval of minutes.
You didn't approve the minutes.
Yes.
Yeah, we haven't
There's
approved
them. There's still
a
lot of issues with the minutes that need to be addressed.
On 3rd.
Which of which
it
date?
Still has
August 17th.
Is absent, but it wasn't New Hampton. It was
me. Yeah.
You.
Right.
And more. I think there just needs more information in the body of the discussions that were held in both of them.
Purpose of the minutes is to give a flavor of the meeting and not to be a transcript. We have audio and video recording. That has the exact, I asked Ruth not to quote people.
Okay.
That makes it difficult to get accurate notes. Well, I do agree that they could have a little more detail. I think that they are a good start.
So I make a motion that for the approval of the minutes of August 3rd, 2020, given that the revisions are accurate.
We need to change.
We'll change to make
change
their,
on
make
each
it.
Of them where it says New Hampton excused absent. It
right.
needs to be
Bridgewater
excused mm-hmm. absent.
Right.
Thank you. Yep.
So my motion is to approve pending the alterations and updates. Is there a second?
I'll second the approval
Thank
of the amended minutes.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Seeing none.
Jeff voted yes.
Thank you, Jeff. We got you. So now we're back to any motion on the ventilation repair contract discussion.
What about August 17th?
Oh, I'm sorry, the same thing,
That's
same
okay.
motion. I thought I did it in one motion.
Yeah, right. There weren't any major things like that.
All right, then I approve the August 17th, 2020 minutes as written.
I'll second that motion.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Do we have a motion on the ventilation repair contract discussion and presentation?
Oh, do we need to do the fund balances and whatnot before we get to that?
So
approve the option that we can fund. And
so that's the order we have to do them in.
Yep. Why don't you just take them? You do the deliberative session as well. And
so I'll make a motion to set January 30th as the date for deliberative session.
Second. Discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? No. Motion passes.
January
30th and February 1st. Did you get that, Ruth?
Yes, thank you.
I make a motion that we transfer the retained fund balance of $523,077.
$523,000. I can't change this, right?
Yeah, we need. Could you state what that last number would be?
$523,000.
Even.
Even.
Okay. Even. Thank you.
Even.
Appreciate it.
Second.
Discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? None. Motion passes.
We have to vote to return back $500,000 to the voters. Jeff, do we have to vote, Jeff, to return money back to the voters?
No.
No, we don't. Okay.
So.
No, it happens automatically.
Right.
Okay, all right, I just didn't. Okay, thank you.
So just for the record, how much money will be going back now to the voters?
$570,362.09.
Thank you, Robert.
To the taxpayers.
We have a motion for approving the $350,000 transfer to the Expendable Trust Fund.
So moved.
Thank you. Second?
Second.
Thank you, Jeff. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. None opposed. Motion passes. We've taken care of the deliberative. The retained fund balance, expendable trust. Now we can move, I think, to our motion on the ventilation repair.
That's correct. Yep.
Mm-hmm. We have motions.
Yep. Meeting. I looked up the public notice requirements. It's 24 hours.
Okay.
It's under RSA 91A2. All meetings must have at least 24 hour notice, not counting Sundays and holidays, prior to the meeting. Notice can be given on the website and one other source, like in a daily newspaper. So, in a couple of days, we could have that. And looking at this contract, it talks about credit approval being 10 to 14 days. So I think even while that was being done, we could still give the public an opportunity to come and hear about the solutions and at least be made aware of them and give their opinion to us.
Need a motion for that?
I make a motion that we have a public here prior to final confirmation of the contract.
Is there a second? Hearing no second, we need to move on to another motion.
I make a motion to approve the HVAC repairs at the middle school with the $523,000 from the contingency fund and $500,000 from the maintenance fund, with an annual amount being leased with an annual amount of $101,349.74.
Can I ask that you add one thing?
Yeah.
That you also include, that you authorize the superintendent to apply to the Department of Education for use of that.
523.
Yes.
With authorization to the superintendent to apply to the Department of Education for the use of the contingency fund of $523,000. Second.
We have a second.
Okay. I have some discussion.
Okay.
So my concern here is that if for some reason we get an approval from the Department of Ed, what action are we going to take?
What was that? What option?
So you see, he's asking if whether or not we can proceed the way we would vote on if later we don't get the state's approval that we're seeking. What happens then?
Is that what you said, Jeff? If we,
yeah,
we
so,
do not.
So if we don't get the state's approval, do we continue anyway and lease the entire balance, or do we reconsider? What do we do?
Should we have two motions that if that motion with, if he gets the approval, I modify my motion so that if he gets approval, I authorize the superintendent, if he gets approval, this is what we do. If we, and then have a second motion as a backup. Can we do that?
You can do it all in one motion.
Mm-hmm. Oh boy, just this the way motion's getting really long.
Well, just saying that we would lease the
right. Right. And if we were to not get approved by the Department of Education, we would lease the an increase of $523,000.
Right. So we can do it that way or we can reconsider it.
I think we do it that way. I think right now with the Department of Education, with so many schools with HVAC issues, I mean, but I don't think they really have an ability to say no when they're telling us we need the HVAC system.
I don't disagree. I'm just being devil's advocate.
I know, and it's right. Good that you do. But geez,
thank you for that, Jeff.
Why would they say no?
Right.
I guess I have a question. I hope it's not a monkey wrench. It's just procedural. Where is or will be the $60,000 that we approved for the HVAC ventilation presently suggested for the middle school? What will happen to those funds that we approved?
Yeah, if we go through this? We would not be spending that money.
And do we have to make a motion to rescind that $60,000?
I don't think that's necessary. I mean, you could if you wanted to, but I mean, it's the money remains in your general fund. I mean, we were going to find that in your budget, so I don't.
As long as we're all aware of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because that fix was not a viable fix.
Right. So, can you begin to try to restate the motion that's inclusive
okay.
of?
I made a motion. Mm-hmm. To approve the middle school HVAC project with $500,000 out of the maintenance fund, $523,000 out of our contingency fund, financing a total of $1,195,162 with the annual payment of $101,349.74. With the authorization to the superintendent to apply to the Department of Education for the $523,000, and if that is not approved, that we add the $523,000 into the lease payment where the annual amount will increase.
Well done.
Well done. If you wrote that, Melissa, can you give it to Ruth so that she's certain to have that the way you said it?
Thank you.
Yep. It sounded like you had it written.
We'll figure it out, Ruth. Just email me, Ruth. We'll figure it out.
I got it up until the part about if not approved.
If not approved,
yes.
We will increase the lease amount by $523,000.
Increase the lease amount. But, if you don't get it from the DOE.
Correct.
Then you'll
increase the lease amount by the $523,000.
I still
second. Thank you. Okay. Thank you for your second.
Second.
Did you get that second from Heidi?
Heidi, second. Second.
Any more discussion? Hearing no more discussion. Those in favor of the motion?
Aye.
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 Jeff was.
Those opposed?
Without a public hearing, no.
So noted.
Did we get a no?
Yes.
Thank you. And the rest are yes. Okay,
motion passes.
Mike, I do have one other motion I need to have somebody ask that somebody make. In the event that we have a contract that needs to be signed, so we're going to have two contracts, one for the ventilation project and one for the financing. I would like to suggest that somebody makes a motion to authorize school board chair Jeff Levesque to sign that in the event that we may not have a meeting soon enough, a board meeting soon enough. So that would expedite the process. And apparently that's aligned with past practice you've had. So, but I think it would be wise to have a motion stating that and have the board vote on that.
All right, I move in the...
Just move to authorize Jeff Levesque.
Right, I move to authorize Jeff Levesque to sign the proposed contracts.
The two.
For the ventilation and.
Finance.
Financing, funding.
I'll second it.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
None. Okay, thank you, Pierre. Do we have manifests? Yeah, I guess we do not, given that Susan is at the polls.
And here you have the, I just want to, you have the comments from the...
Yes, we'll be reviewing those. Yep.
Perfect, I just wanted to make sure that those would be reviewed.
Yep,
perfect.
We have them.
I move to adjourn.
Second.
So, no discussion, we are adjourned.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you, Jeff.
Have a good night.